Good evening, everybody. I want to take just a minute and thank the elders, Shirley, for allowing me this opportunity to speak to you tonight. It's not very often that I get up here and teach or have a sermon, so I probably can count on one hand the times I've done it. So my hat's certainly off to Dustin and those men who do this all the time. It's one thing to do it once in a blue moon, but if you do it every week in and week out, it's a lot of work, a lot of hard work that goes into this. So I certainly appreciate all the time and efforts that men like Dustin put in. So I got here at 3:00 and the building was almost full. I thought, wow, people must want to get here early so they'll make sure they get a seat because they heard I was preaching. No, that's not true, but anyway, the lesson tonight, a song that I sing quite often, it's one of my favorite songs in the songbook, is the 90 and 9. And if you notice, it's the song of invitation tonight. It's number 123 in the songbooks. So you could go ahead and mark that song. And I'm going to, I asked Justin if I could lead the song, and he was more than happy to let me do that. So it really kind of goes along with our lesson really well tonight. So, but before we even get into the lesson, I wanted to talk a little bit just about this song. I want to read through it. We're not going to sing it just yet, but as the invitation song, we'll sing it. So just if you want to look, read along with me in the hymn books, it's number 123. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills, away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountains, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. Verse 2, Lord, thou hast here thy 99, are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. Verse 3. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Far out in the desert he heard its cry. 'Twas sick and helpless and ready to die. 'Twas sick and helpless and ready to die. Then verse 4. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that marks out the mountain's track? They were shed for the one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. In the fifth and final verse, but all through the mountain, thunder riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gate of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. That song, to me personally, is a song that there have been times in my past when I've tried to lead that song, and it's a very heartfelt song to me. It's speaking of the one who's lost. And, you know, I think about my own personal situation, you know, my children who are at this time not faithful. And it makes me think that God's patient. Well, there's things we have to do, but God is patient, and this song really does touch me a lot. And there's times when I lead it, I have to really be careful not to think too hard because it chokes me up. But I think it's a very powerful song. And like I said, we're gonna sing that song at the end of my comments tonight, and as a song of invitation. And the lesson tonight is titled "The Lost Sheep." I told him I knew how to do this, but I guess I do. All right, and Oh, so the monitor under here doesn't work. Or should it work? I'm sorry. Okay, awesome. I would have to turn around all evening, and that would get annoying, I'm sure. But so the story starts off, and we've already heard the scripture read from Luke chapter 15 about the lost sheep. So, you know, and the way the story goes is there's a shepherd. He counts his sheep, and he's expecting to find 100, and there's only 99. So he's concerned for the danger for that one sheep that's kind of wandered away. And so he immediately takes action to try to go find this sheep that has strayed away. And this count that was, you know, just read a few minutes ago, you know, we saw searching, we saw saving, and we saw shouting going on in an effort to bring the sheep back. So we can see a clear connection between that and Jesus's love, longing, and labor for the lost today, and that's really the point of the story, is, you know, comparing that situation to us in the world today. You know, there's a picture of salvation in these verses that we don't want to lose. So as we go through this, make sure that you consider that as you're going through this. If you're here today and you're in a lost condition, you'll be reminded of the love and grace of Jesus, and be reminded to thank Him for that. If you're here in a saved condition, but not quite where you need to be in your life spiritually, you'll be given an opportunity to set things right as well. And so, let's examine the scriptures together, and we're gonna start off with talking about this shepherd, and there's really three points we're going to talk about. And the first one is the shepherd's compassion. First, the shepherd's compassion for a lost sheep. If you think about, he had 100 sheep, and only one of them went away, but he cared so much for that one sheep. He wasn't as worried about the 99, because they were there still. They were still in protection. And then I think about that, and I think, lost sheep, well, we're the 99 right here. The people that are faithful, the people that are here wanting to know more about God and Jesus and live a life devoted to Him. It's that person out in the world that's the lost sheep. So, and lost, just to kind of think about the word lost, the word is translated perish in John 3:16, which, if you look at John 3:16, it's a verse we're very familiar with. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, lost really means to be lost, ruined, or destroyed. The sheep is lost because it wandered away on its own. It wasn't forced to go. It just kind of wandered off. That's what happens to people sometimes. We allow the things of the world to grab hold of us, and it starts off as something small, and then it grows, and you just kind of wander away from the truth. So it was lost by its own fault, through its own fault. God knows a lost condition of us. And if you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 53, this will be the first of the scriptures that we'll be reading. Isaiah 53 in verse 6. And that reads, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And then turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." And then finally, John chapter 3 in verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then if you go down to verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And so, you know, he knows the condition of law, of humanity in general. He knows the lost condition of your heart. So if we talked earlier about individualizing things, he knows about the condition of your heart as well. And he knows you were lost because of the sin of Adam, but he also knows you're a sinner because you chose to be one, just like we said about the sheep wandering away. He did it on his own. And then he knows where you are living and where you are headed if you do not obey God's word. And then finally, he knows that hell is the end of the road for every soul that is not in a personal saving relationship with Christ. So let's turn over to Psalms chapter 9 and verse 17. Psalms 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verses 8 through 9, or 8 and 9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And then, once more, let's turn over to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, and he knows the condition of the lost. He is moved to do something about their lost condition. You think about the sheep has wandered away, and what does the shepherd do? The shepherd goes in search of the sheep. There was danger involved. I mean, the shepherd could have been hurt or injured himself. So continue talking about the shepherd's compassion. First was for the lost sheep. Now let's talk about for a loved sheep. The sheep may have wandered away from the shepherd on its own, but it was still precious to him, which is obvious when you think about he went out looking for this lost sheep. There was value in the lost sheep, and the shepherd wanted to return it back to its flock. And then he cared immensely for this little lost sheep. And then the good shepherd loves the sheep in this world also. So you think about God and Jesus' love for us, and especially the love for those that are lost. And then if you're lost today, you should know that God loves you. And how do you know this? Well, first, he said it in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. So let's turn over there. Jeremiah 31, in verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. And then in John 3:16, which we've already read, so God so loved the world. And then if you move on, secondly, he showed it. If you look over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 and 8, or 6 through 8, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but perhaps a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You think about that. Christ died for us not because he didn't do it because we deserved anything. We did not deserve to have that happen for us. But he loved us so much, even when we were sinners. Just like this lost sheep has wandered away, the shepherd is going to find him because he cares so much about the sheep. And then if you ever doubt the love of God, think about the cross. I mean, that's the most loving thing that has happened to anybody, to happen to any of us, is that Christ was willing, just willing to go to the cross and hang on the cross and go through all the torture and torment that he had to go through, all because of our sins. And just like I said, not because we deserved it, but because he loved us so much. And so, continuing along with the shepherd's compassion, now we talk about for a lone sheep. And just one sheep, you know, just one sheep was missing, but the shepherd went out in search for this one sheep that was lost. And he saw the value of this one sheep and went after it. And then Jesus, the good shepherd, came into this world to die for the lost sheep, just like we just said. Turn over to Luke 19, verse 10. Luke 19, verse 10 is, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." And then Jesus came into this world to die because he deemed every lost soul precious. A few more verses that we're going to read. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." And then Romans 10 and 13. Romans 10 and 13 is, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then finally, Revelation 22, 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." And also, he died for you and me, as we said earlier. Now we've talked about the shepherd's, you know, the compassion. Now let's talk about the shepherd's commitment. It was a sacrificial commitment. For the shepherd, the search was dangerous and death was a possibility. So the shepherd was going to have to go out into the wilderness, up under the mountains, and find this lost sheep. So it was not without danger. For Jesus, you know, death was a certainty. You know, let's read in John chapter 10, verse 11. John chapter 10, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." And then John 15, 15 and verse 13 reads, "Greater love hath no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And then 1 Peter 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." And then finally also, over in John, it's going to be John chapter 18 in verse 37. "Pilate therefore said to him, 'Are you a king then?' Jesus answered, 'You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.'" And so remember, the price Jesus paid extended beyond Calvary. And if you read in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus,
who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so, it was a successful commitment. So not only was it a sacrificial commitment, it was a successful commitment. The shepherd did not stop until he found, he completed his mission of finding the sheep. And then Jesus did not stop on his quest until he was able to cry out on the cross, "It is finished." In John 19:30, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished,' and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." And then over in Isaiah chapter 50, and verse 7, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed." And then finally, Mark chapter 10, in verse 45. Verse 45 reads, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And so the shepherd's labor had not been wasted, but he returned to the fold with the very thing he went after. And so it was a successful commitment because he found the sheep and brought him back. It may look as though God's it may look as though God's cause is failing in this world. You know, when you look out into the world and you see all the corruption and you know all the evil things that are happening, but Jesus will not be disappointed by the harvest he reaps from the world. Once we get to heaven, we will learn about the Good Shepherd. Good Shepherd perfectly fulfilled his mission, and all those he saved by his blood will be home in heaven. So let's read John chapter 17, verse 24. John 17, 24, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." And then John chapter 6, verse 37. 6 and 37. "But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe." I started in 36. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees me, sees the Son and believes in him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And so, like the note says there, notice the use of the words "all" and "everyone." And then, finally, it involves a rescue. The sheep has been found and rescued from the danger in which it has been in. If someone's lost in the world and they find their way to Christ and to God and the church, they've been rescued from the evil of the world. The word "save" means to rescue from harm and danger. So you think about a new Christian being rescued from the world. All of God's sheep are delivered from the penalty. So we'll read through these three verses, or four verses actually. John chapter 3 and 18. reads, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then down in verse 36, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides in him." So God's sheep are delivered from the penalty, from the power, Romans chapter 6, in verse 11 through 14. "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." And then all of God's sheep are delivered from the presence. So let's go over to Revelation chapter 21, and verse 27. And that reads, "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." And then it involves rest. The sheep is not responsible for getting itself home. You see the picture sometimes of the shepherd with the sheep over his shoulders carrying the sheep back home. After it is saved, it finds itself resting upon the strong shoulders of the shepherd. Thank God we're not responsible. You know, if you think about it, you know, we're not responsible for getting ourselves home either. But we are kept by the power of God. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Verse 5 reads, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time." We rest upon his promises for salvation. In John chapter 10, chapter 10 and verse 28, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." And then John chapter 6 and verse 37 through 40, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and it will raise him up at the last day." And then over in John chapter 6, in verse 47, is, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." And then finally in Hebrews 9, in chapter 12, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." And then the Lord's sheep are saved by grace, and it is grace that sees them home. And then let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And then Romans chapter 11, verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. And then the note here at the bottom, none of the Lord's sheep need ever fear of being left behind. Now the shepherd's conquest. The shepherd has been able to lift the sheep and bear it on his shoulders all the way back to the fold. He had the stamina to finish what he had started. And the Lord did not start this mission to fail. Just like the shepherd going out to find the sheep didn't go out to fail. He went out with the full intention of finding the sheep. And then notice the confidence. If you look at Luke chapter 19 in verse 10. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So to seek and save. And then John chapter 6 verse 37. John 6 and 37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." And then finally in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 reads, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" And then we shouldn't worry about being lost. Just make sure you get into the fold. That's the important thing. Our strength will wane along the way, but we will fail many times. But God's strength never wavers. Our getting to heaven is the most important thing. And so, it will never depend upon you and me. I mean, our getting to heaven, just like I said before, Christ dying on the cross had nothing to do with us in terms of our, we didn't deserve it. It's not going to depend on you and me. It's going to depend on God. It involves rejoicing. So obviously, going out, finding the sheep, the shepherd was able to rejoice with his friends and neighbors and let them know that they rescued the one lost sheep, or that he rescued the one lost sheep. Jesus makes it clear that heaven gets excited about the salvation of just one lost soul. And if you think about that, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 12 through 17. "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you were once were far off, have been brought near to the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." And then over in Job chapter 9 and verse 33, "Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand upon us both." So, in conclusion of the lesson tonight, and like I said, I'm gonna lead the invitation song. But are you a lost sheep? Are you someone that's lost from the world? I believe most of us in the room tonight are Christians, but are you lost in the, you know, put down the lost in the dark mountains of sin? Do you need to be rescued by the shepherd? You know, even if you're someone who is a Christian, someone who's been baptized, but maybe you've struggled in your life and you have some needs. Notice how the shepherd left the 99 to go search, you know, for the one. If there was ever a time when the church needed to get her eyes off of the 99, meaning focusing just on us, it would be now, because there's a lot of lost sheep in the world. So if there's anything that anything we can do to help you, whether it be pray for you, if there's someone here that would desire to be baptized, the water is ready, and we can make that happen just tonight. So if there's anything at all that we can do for you, please come forward as we stand and we sing number 123.